And from KTOO, I'm Anna Canny. Bartlett Regional Hospital has lost close to $1.5 million per month for the last 6 months. Temporary pandemic relief funding masked the problem, but now it's clear that there will be major changes to stop the losses. Sim Muse is Bartlett's chief financial officer.
We haven't fired any staff, and the hope is that, you know, we can figure this out in a way that we're moving, shuffling people around and finding good solutions for every home-based staff here. So
he said the nationwide labor shortage makes it especially important for the hospital to retain its staff. Muse said inflation and higher labor costs due to the shortage of health care workers are driving the losses. The hospital's costs are going up, but the amount it is paid by Medicare or Medicaid is not keeping up with inflation.
You know, I think it's an issue that all healthcare systems across the United States and certainly in Alaska are trying to grapple with right now. And
there are also effects from losing lower levels of medical care in the community, like nursing homes and hospice care. That means some patients who should leave the hospital can't. The hospital is not reimbursed for those hospital stays, which can be lengthy.
We're providing that care because the community needs that care, right? And we're trying to fill gaps, but we also aren't being reimbursed for it.
Bartlett has a phased plan to start saving money. Its goal is to begin the next fiscal year, which begins in June, without a budget deficit. Current actions include hiring restrictions and overtime reductions. The hospital is also cutting incentive pay, reducing traveling and contract employees, and offering incentives for retirement. By the end of March, the hospital may have to start cutting programs and reducing its workforce. The state legislative session begins today, and the Alaska House is still not organized. That means representatives haven't formed a majority coalition or assigned leadership roles. And as Alaska's Kavitha George reports, there are no clear timeline for when that will happen.
This is the third legislative cycle in a row in which the House has begun the session without clear leadership. That means the House can't move ahead with its legislative business when the session begins. No forming committees, no hearing bills, nothing. The Senate organized back in November, but without the House to work in tandem, the legislative process will be seriously slowed down. The House is nearly evenly split along party lines, with 21 Republicans and 19 Democrats and Independents.
Now the question is, how are we going to figure out an organization that goes forward? Because neither side can go independently on their own without the help of the other.
That's Ketchikan Independent Representative Dan Ortez. In recent years, the House majority has been a multi-party coalition, but it's unclear whether that will happen this year. Ortez says he would rather have a larger, more moderate majority instead of a narrow one, in which any one member could end up stalling an action.
I would not be inclined to be a part of a coalition that would only have 21 members, for specifically that reason.
Forming a coalition involves lots of discussion between lawmakers behind the scenes to identify common interests and policy goals. House Republicans have been somewhat reticent to discuss how the process is playing out. Anchorage Representative Tom McKay, for example, said over email that he couldn't comment on the organization process, claiming it's, quote, confidential caucus business. Another Anchorage Republican, Representative Dan Sadler, declined to comment on the dynamics of organization conversations with individual lawmakers or the size of a possible coalition.
I think a lot of folks are very hopeful that we'll have some organization in place so the people's representatives can hit the ground running on the first day of session. Your guess may be as good as mine as to how likely that is to happen.
In 2021, the House organization process took 24 days. In 2019, the process dragged on 31 days into the session. Freshman Sitka Independent Representative Rebecca Himshoot, along with other moderate members, could play an important role in forming a coalition.
So when I first ran, I evaluated who am I, and I just recognized that I am someone who very much believes in that middle road. And so I chose to run as an independent, and only later did it occur to me that that could become valuable in terms of trying to put together a majority.
Himshoot said so far her discussions have mostly been one-on-one phone calls to lay out her policy priorities around education and state fiscal health. But she expects things to speed up once the body convenes in Juneau.
I think individually, we're all frustrated. We would like it to come together, but I think we're also very invested in making something that works.
She says while she's not sure a coalition will come together by Tuesday, she's confident that whatever structure is formed will be, quote, worth waiting for. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
A uniquely Alaskan housing grant is giving people who are homeless a year of housing. In Juneau, where affordable rentals are scarce, people are finding stable homes in unusual places. But a year may not be enough time for all of them to find longer-term solutions. Claire Strempel reports from KTOO.
Hi!
It's raining softly at the Douglas Harbor when Candy Spicer pops out of the 30-foot sailboat she just started renting.
The boats are really neat. I want you to come inside. Like I said, it's a work in progress. Do you know how to get on a boat without falling in the water?
It's warm and dry inside. There's a bed, a bathroom with a shower, and a small kitchen. The stove doubles as a heater.
Cast iron.
She says it's nice falling asleep to the gentle rocking of the water in the harbor. Silver insulation lines the walls inside, but she has plans to cover that up.
Just make it a home, you know.
Spicer is the latest recipient of an Alaska-specific grant that helps people who are homeless maintain 1 year of housing, even if it's alternative housing, like this boat. She's one of about 1,800 people statewide who have gone from insecurity to stable homes through the program, at least for a year. Housing advocates say the grant is successful, but there needs to be affordable housing or rental assistance on the other end to keep recipients housed long term. But Spicer says it's a big step up from the last 2 years. She was homeless after some relationship trouble when she first got to Juneau.
And I found myself walking down the street with a backpack, not knowing where I was going to go.
She was new enough in town that she didn't have a safety net of friends or family, so she ended up in the shelter system.
The Glory Hall is like the warming center and stuff like that. Those are supposed to be stepping stones. They're not supposed to be life choices, you know. So 2 years ago, I was walking down the street, you know, and now it's like I have a job, I have a car, I have a place of my own.
The flexibility of the grant is unique. Usually, federal housing money can't be used to rent non-traditional housing like boats, hotel rooms, or rooms in a home. This program sidesteps those requirements. The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, the state's housing authority, designed it specifically for Alaskans and for the realities of Alaska housing. Luke Roman manages the grant program with Juneau's homeless shelter. He says the Glory Hall has placed 175 people in the program in Juneau, and it saved the shelter from overcrowding.
We're full, as is. And so, you know, if there was 175 other homeless people in town this year, like, I don't know what we would do.
But a year may not be enough time for all of them to find longer-term solutions. This grant has been effective at getting people out of vulnerable or unsafe living situations, but keeping them on track for permanent housing is much harder to accomplish. The typical path to long-term stability from homelessness involves a Section 8 voucher, which is federal rental assistance. But the wait time has ballooned over the last year or so.
Since the program started, the wait list has gone from, I think, 12 months to like 24 almost. I think 19 to 24 or something. So nobody's name has come to the top of the list.
There's another issue. Even if some of the 175 people in the program in Juneau had gotten Section 8 vouchers, Roman says there's simply not enough affordable housing for them. He estimates Juneau needs 300 more affordable units to solve the problem.
It's not just a statewide problem, it's a national problem.
Brian Butcher is the executive director of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. He says that 30 to 40 years ago, there was a severe lack of housing in rural areas, but the crunch wasn't as bad in bigger cities.
That has changed. It's now statewide. It's in our regional hubs. It's in our cities. And as the affordable housing crunch has gotten worse in the larger areas, that tells you it's probably and certainly gotten even worse out in the rural areas.
Butcher says the program has been a good use of the federal funds. He says they're already seeing people move out of the program and into their own apartments because the stability of housing allowed them to find work and daycare, pieces that are almost impossibly hard to put in place while navigating homelessness. He says the Housing Authority didn't anticipate how many communities would participate, nor the number of people that would sign up.
The positive is we're able to help a lot of people. The negative is there are a lot of people in this more dire situation that needed the help in the first place.
Back at the harbor in Juneau, Candy Spicer is a likely success story for the program. She works part-time at a local thrift store. While the grant pays her rent for a year, she's saving to buy the boat outright.
you know, I'd mentioned to the owner about that, and he was all for it. So, yeah, so I look forward to that. And, you know, baby steps, baby steps.
But those steps aren't an option for everyone. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple.